You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
El Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Para Ricardo del Real y para su suegra, para Joana, que está de cumple. Atrás, el pase completo y soltó el balón. Soltó el balón y lo tiene Kansas City.
Ahora cruzó el plano. ¿Cruzó el plano?
No. No cruzó el plano. Flowers.
Oh, Zay Flowers, qué lástima. Hola, qué tal? What's good, everybody? This is the El Huddle podcast where we celebrate the Latino voices that make the NFL, the entertainment world, and everything go round. My name is Will Sub, alongside my hermana, my prima hermana, MJ Acosta Ruiz.
Woo-hoo! Good to see you, Will. Good to see you.
Likewise,
man, just watching
as always.
That clip, one of the many pivotal moments that sort of sealed the fate for the Ravens over the weekend, but brought us one step closer to knowing that the Chiefs were yet again in the Super. I can't believe that's it. We're there. We have our Super Bowl matchup. Chiefs and Nanas. Oh boy. For everyone wasn't aware, Patrick Mahomes is the boogeyman. Okay. Never ever discount that man. Ever. Wow.
He's the zigzag man. He's whatever you want to call him. He's Freddy Krueger from Friday the 13th. He's that's Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm getting my horror flicks. Jason from Friday the 13th. You can't stop him. He's honestly like como una cucaracha. You know, he's like, you keep trying to like step on it, it keeps moving, right? Keeps going. And Patrick Mahomes is a player that I do feel like we just take for granted because they are in this thing year in and year out.
Yep.
And he is a lot like the modern day Tom Brady now, where you just expect him to win. You expect him to be in the mix no matter how talented or how less talented the team is. He's always there. And you look at what he's done before turning 30. He has 14 postseason wins. Tom Brady had 12 before the age of 30. So Patrick Mahomes is doing otherworldly things. And him and Travis Kelce and Kelce, playing 17 postseason games. I mean, that's a full season that they're playing, and just absolute brilliance from the both of them. And, of course, their future Hall of Fame coach and Andy Reid.
I think, and we touched on this a little bit before Championship Sunday, but the way you know that Mahomes and the Chiefs have really reached a new level in what they can do there is the amount of people rooting against them at this point. It's very reminiscent of when the Patriots in New England went on that ridiculous run, right, where people are like, oh, I don't want to see the Chiefs again. Am I guilty of that? You'll never know. But it's true. Like, once you start winning and you're winning a lot and you're winning decisively, regardless of what weapons you have there. I mean, there's something to be said to your point about the Kelce and Mahomes connection. It's just special. It's different. Mm-hmm. But when you think of Rashid Rice, when you think of Isaiah Pacheco from last year to this year, and like last year, everyone thought, oh, it's a rebuilding year. Oh, really? Because they went all the way to
Not
the Super
quite.
Bowl and won it with, I think, more rookies than anybody else who was in the postseason last year. So it's just a testament not over to them. And shout out to Andy Reid and what he can come up with and how he can dismantle teams like the Ravens, who are one of the most consistently dominant teams throughout the entire season. And then they fell at home. And I don't think they just fell. I don't think it was a collapse. I think Andy Reid was more than ready to make sure that his team walked away with the AFC Championship and a spot in the Super Bowl. So, you know what? Hate them, love them, but the Chiefs are there, and they are damn good.
Yeah, estoy de acuerdo, right? I am right there with you. And we got to give a shout-out to Steve Spagnuolo, too. That defense was constantly putting pressure on Lamar Jackson. And I don't know if, you know, Todd Monken, the OC for the Ravens, he got a little flustered because they never ran the ball in the second half, which I thought that they should stick with, not abandon so quickly. So they were forcing Lamar to throw more, and they just were putting so much pressure on him where it clearly got to him. He threw that interception, which was a backbreaker. And then before that, as we heard the call with Zay Flowers and that great play from L'Jarius Sneed, that guy is just a baller, and he doesn't get enough recognition for how good he is. And then Flowers, you know, then before that, I believe on that drive, the taunting, which was totally unnecessary and such a rookie thing.
Come on, I know.
But those are the sorts of things where that's like 15 yards that you needed against this team.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so now, though, they're going to be a little shorthanded because Charles Omenihu, he's out with an ACL, so he's not going to be able to play in the Super Bowl. So that is, I think, going to affect things for Spagnuolo. I still think that they're going to be ready, and Andy Reid's going to get them ready. And, you know, I just wanted to see
at this point.
It really is. I mean, I just would have wanted to see the Ravens at least put up more of a fight and not 100%. Go out with a whimper. Right. Yeah. That's the only thing I would have wanted, is just to really see them give their best shot here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we actually saw it. Yeah.
I agree.
So that's one where we're going to see the Chiefs. There'll be plenty of people hating on them because of their brilliance over the last few years. They're also going to be hating on the fact that Taylor Swift is potentially going to be there. There's speculation about whether she is or she is. You think that 100% she's going to be there?
She's not going to miss the Super Bowl. Are you kidding?
Even though she has a concert in Japan, you think that she's going to be there?
She can literally change the time continuum at this point. If she has
she's capable of doing anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no scenario where she misses the Super Bowl. They'll hold the game. They'll hold kickoff until she gets there.
You're probably right. You're probably right. I could see her being there. And I know there is a contingent of people that are like, oh, please, collective eye roll. We have to see more of Taylor Swift. The reality is, like, Taylor Swift is not asking for the attention. She is there to cheer on her boyfriend, who happens to be playing on the Kansas City Chiefs. And she happens to be the biggest pop star in the world, at least one of the biggest ones in the world. And I think you could tell, like, she just is not seeking that out. But obviously
it just comes with the territory for her.
Yeah, and for like a network director, producer, they're going to focus in on her because she's a part of it. So that's going to be another reason why people are going to hate the Chiefs, which brings us obviously now to the 49ers, who, they just, I don't know if they needed to fall behind in order to get that focus or something, but that first half reminded me of True Detective Night Country. It's a little horrifying, but it's engrossing. I don't know if you've watched it. It's excellent.
Not yet. Excellent. I'm not in the right headspace.
Okay.
Randy co-signs that. He says it's a very good show. I've seen other True Detectives.
This is my first season of watching. I didn't watch the other season.
Really?
Supposedly,
well, they're all sort of self-contained. So.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Season one, I agree. Like I did watch season one. Yeah.
So, but it's reminding me of the fact that, like, I can't handle snow. I mean, I lived in it for 5 years. So, looking at this series and watching it, it's just like, nah.
It's too much.
I'm fine with warm weather. I know you're right there with me.
It was scary to watch. Like, for a second there, it's like, okay, Lions. Oh, snap. Like, is this really happening? I was checking constantly on our girl, Cynthia Freeland. I FaceTimed her a couple times.
just to make sure
I was sad for her and other Lions fans. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to close out. You have to be able to close out the game. Like, a tough loss just doesn't cut it at this point, especially when you're one step away from the Super Bowl, right? So I think credit to the 49ers for being able to rally back. But in my opinion, that is not the recipe to go up against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I mean, they were there just 4 years ago, Super Bowl 54 in Miami. Do you remember that? I remember it vividly. I was there and we were prepping because all the way through halftime, it looked like the 49ers had it sealed up. What I think will be a bad day for the 49ers is if they fall behind against the Chiefs.
I think totally
because
right.
They don't let off the gas. They don't. I think the Niners almost have to play a perfect game.
Yeah, or a near perfect game, right? Because we saw them against the Packers too. They had to come back against them. Yep. I think they need to figure out that run defense and really tighten that up to start.
Yes, because we saw Aaron Jones all over him. Yeah.
Yes. And David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. But then in the second half, you know, Josh Reynolds drops passes. They go for it, obviously, on fourth down, and Dan Gamble, if you want to call him that, goes for it again. That's the identity of the team. And I understand the philosophy, but I've said this before about other signal or I should say other play callers or other coaches, you know, that we've said about Shanahan or McDaniel or McVay. Some of these guys who are younger who I think sometimes they just maybe overthink things and sometimes maybe not going with the instinct. And this was an occasion where I thought, you know what, maybe go with the points because you don't have to convince your team that you believe in them. You just do already believe
they
in
know
them
that.
And they believe in you.
Yeah,
right.
They already know that. I agree. But how were you feeling and how was your son Ben feeling throughout the game? He's like our tiny but mighty 49ers fan. We know several fans of the Niners in this building who were near cardiac arrest. How was it at your household?
well, so we went over to somebody else's house. There was a bunch of 49er fans there, and there was genuine concern. Well, we thought, okay, this is the Lions game. This is their season. They're a team of destiny. So I think there was actually some resignation. We thought, oh boy, trying to come back because again, the 49ers outside of that Packers game where they came back, they haven't been known to rally when they've been down with these Kyle Shanahan teams. So I think there was some resignation that, you know, well, hey, this is just the Lions deal. They had in the house Barry Sanders, they had Eminem,
Everybody's
went into flipping off 49er fans.
I saw that. Did you see the sweater? It said Mom Spaghetti in the back. I was like, I kind of want one.
It was actually kind of cool, right? Yeah. I mean, only Eminem, right? So then when the second half started and then the Brandon Ayuk catch, I mean, everybody was losing their minds because that was a play in 49ers history where if you go back, obviously the catch, the Terrell Owens catch against the Packers, like it's in that category, I feel like. And that really changed everything. And so that just energized everybody, and everybody was going insane crazy.
I love that. I mean, Purdy ended the day 20 of 31, 267 pass yards, a touchdown, and a pick. So, I mean, he rose to the occasion in the back end when they really, really needed him to. But again, like you have to be that way throughout the entire game at the Super Bowl. How do you feel about his performance and what's to come now on the Super Bowl stage?
Honestly, I think, we'll see how his nerves handle such a big stage, right? Because you never know. And it is foreign to him. It's new to him. But he does have guys around him who are familiar with the experience. Yeah. Kittle, Juszczyk, our guy Warner. So he is surrounded by guys who have experience. I hope that he uses his legs again.
Yeah,
because
that
I think
was really
that is going to keep the defense honest. And you know, we saw Karlaftis and Menahu, we just mentioned, is hurt. I mean, just get after Lamar Jackson. So I think he's just going to have to use his legs more. And I think that he's shown he can be clutch making those throws when he has to.
He can,
and he's not afraid to stand in the pocket and take a hit. And deliver when he has to. And I think this team believes in him. And I think if Kyle Shanahan can just make that right, you know, that right game plan for him to continue to at least not play to lose, you got to play to win.
No question.
And try to play keep away from the Mahomes-led offense.
I think a big thing for about Brock Purdy is we've seen him in really intense moments, and he doesn't seem frazzled to me. But I think there's something to be said about, and my mom always says this, you know, when you're in a hurry, so you're trying to rush, and then like you do something and knock over the water bottle, and now you have to clean up the water, and it makes you even more late, right? She always says, anda despacio que estoy de prisa, which means slow down because I'm in a hurry.
Oh,
and when you think about it, it's true. If you just, you try to hurry more because you know that you're late, and you end up just mounting on top of it. And I think we saw a little bit of that in this game, in terms of maybe being frantic because you know you're behind, and like things just keep piling on. Now, he was able to course correct at the end, but I think the key will be anda despacio que estoy de prisa, in terms of keep the pace, stay in control, and don't get frazzled. Don't do more things, like don't throw an interception, don't, you know, any of these things that can make you be more behind or late to have you dig out of a hole, because it's not going to work out the same against the Chiefs. So Purdy, if anything, just think of Maria Acosta. Sure, that's top of mind for him.
Maria.
As you're going there. Mama Maria always has the sayings, but they're always true. It happened
like,
to me.
Can you imagine? He says, like, you know, he's in the huddle. And he says, okay, Maria Acosta, uno, dos, tres.
Right.
Acosta.
Break.
You know?
Maybe Maria could be the call.
I could see Kittle yelling it out. Come on. I know he would.
But it was an incredible sight. And coming up right here, our colleague, our primo, no relation, maybe, Omar Ruiz is coming on the show. He was there. He was on the field. He was there for the entire game. He's been covering the Niners throughout the entire season. He will be here to recap what was an emotional and exciting NFC Championship game on the other side of the break here on the In Huddle podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Primera oportunidad entonces, San Francisco en la 45, quiero el movimiento. Ernie va al aire. Ernie, aire largo. El pase adelante.
Wow.
Completo. Ayub con un pañuelo. Veremos qué señalan los oficiales. Tendría que haber sido intercepción. Es pase completo. Y habrá que ver qué decisión toman con respecto a la infracción.
The Athletic called it the Immaculate Deflection. Just one of those memorable catches. And MJ, our next guest, was actually there. He's been covering not just the NFL, but the 49ers and this magic carpet ride that they're on. Talk about, like, what is it, La Familia? We're talking about our guy. We work with him at NFL Media, Omar D. Ruiz.
Woo! Did you just throw in the middle initial?
Yeah. We've reached our Ruiz quota. I need to get a Selva in here, too, to make this thing equal. What's
this
up,
This is
Omar?
A long time coming, man. We've been wanting to get Omar here, but, you know, our bosses keep him all over the place, all over the country. It's so tough. So we're so happy that you're here. And we're watching that clip, of course, Omar, of that incredible catch. That was more of the turning point in the game for the Niners. Walk us through this, because it very much literally a game, a story of two halves. So let's start with the first half, which was rough for Niners fans to watch. What was the atmosphere going into halftime over at Levi Stadium?
Yeah. Well, it was quiet. You can imagine the shock in all of Niner Nation at Levi Stadium, expecting this coronation of the 49ers and the number one seed. And all year long, they have aimed for this top seed in the NFC so they could get the home field advantage. And the Lions did whatever they wanted in the first half offensively. The 49ers couldn't get anything going. And just to put matters into even more perspective, at halftime, legendary band, Bay Area band Journey was playing. So they were expecting them to get the crowd rocking and rolling and the old school songs to pump up the crowd.
Oh my God.
And then, of course, they start playing Don't Stop Believing, right? And then he said,
so did it work?
You know, he's just a city boy from South Detroit.
And no.
So the Lions fans just go crazy. And so it's like everything that could go wrong for the 49ers went wrong in that first half, including getting the halftime crowd fired up for the Lions fans. And but then you mentioned the Brandon Ayuk catch and the immaculate deflection really was, you know, the turning point. Mm-hmm. Right. And then, you know, a couple plays later, they scored the touchdown, and then the ensuing possession, Lions fumbled the ball, and then in a moment's notice, the game was tied, and obviously the rest is history. But that will go down. Will, you grew up in San Francisco. MJ, you covered the Niners for a while. You know about the catch. You know about the catch two. You know about the catch three. All the signature moments in 49er history and Brandon Ayuk's NFC Championship game, immaculate deflection, will go down in that Niner lore as well, I think.
For sure.
Yeah, well, Omar, what did you think of Dan Gamble and Dan Gamble going for it on fourth down? He's been taking a lot of heat over it, because those just added to what we saw and what the result ended up becoming.
Yeah, I didn't mind the second half fourth down going for it, because that's what they've been all season long. The one I did mind was in the first half. At the end of the first half, fourth and goal from the three, it's 21-7. They could go for the jugular right there before halftime, but instead they kicked the field goal. And so they went up 24-7, which I didn't mind that decision. Sure. You know, I'm more of that old school kind of logical, you take the points when you can get them kind of thing.
Yep.
But the fact that he played it conservatively there at that point when he could have gone for the jugular instead of, and then changed going back to the way he had done things all season in the second half, I just didn't like that inconsistency.
Yeah.
But specifically those fourth down calls in the second half, it's what they are, it's who they are.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think the thing I appreciated most maybe about all of that was his comments after the game, appreciating the scrutiny, appreciating the questions, not getting defensive about it.
Yeah.
He just said, hey, it's on me. I believe in my team. I don't regret it, but I understand your guys' questions. And I think that said a lot about his character, why he's ingratiated himself to that locker room, why he's endeared himself to the organization and the community. And I think that says a lot about Dan Campbell, the fact that they didn't get it and the humility to admit that it was he didn't regret the decision, but obviously it didn't work out for them.
Yeah, that's a good way to diffuse the post-game press conference room as well, which he's excellent at. Switching it back to the Niner side, because obviously we keep talking about how reminiscent this is of the Super Bowl 54 when they went up against the Chiefs in Miami. And on the lead up to that, you know, I was covering that NFC Championship game at Levi Stadium that year as well. And I remember I was maybe like one, it was John Lynch, his security, and then me on the sideline, because just like you did, Omar, you have to run out there to get that post-game interview. They're setting up the stage for the trophy ceremony. It is absolute chaos in the best possible way. In those moments leading up to the end of the game, as you're on the sideline, what do you remember seeing and what did it feel like there?
Well, it was incredible, because the Fox set was there, because of course they had Jimmy, Howie, and Kurt Menefee and Jay Glazer, all those guys were there.
Strahan was there
in the stadium, and their big huge set was behind the quarter of the field that we were gathering around. And so Aaron Andrews is right there next to me, and And, you know, she's asking for her post-game requests. I'm asking for mine. All the other national media that are there are lining up for their interviews. And I remember when the Lions were about to kick the onside kick. And I looked at Aaron. I said, hey, you were there in Seattle when they kicked the onside kick against Green Bay in that NFC championship game. And it took her a second to remember. She's like, oh, yeah. And then so at that point, I think once the Niners went up 10 late in the game, you just kind of thought, okay, well, it's probably over. But then the Lions scored that touchdown. And we've seen crazy things happen. Yep. So we kind of had to refocus on the game itself rather than the interviews that we're pursuing.
Right.
And you know how chaotic it is after the game. They had lined up Nick Bosa for us, a couple sacks and, you know, one of the defensive heroes of the game for the Niners. Once we got out there, we never saw Nick Bosa.
No, I mean,
we ended up getting, we ended up getting, you know, Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams and between Stacey Dales and I, Debo and Fred Warner and, you know, George Kittle and, you know, had some great interviews, but the one that they had intended to set up for us didn't even happen.
Right.
But we saw some great moments, you know, and just great interviews. Just getting that raw emotion from the guys is just truly unmatched that you could really only get at a championship game or a Super Bowl.
And those were great interviews too, MJ, so that Omar got there on the field. We've been running them on Good Morning Football. And just to see like Purdy still seemed like he was – thankful for the moment, but also still seemed kind of businesslike. And Kittle was just soaking it all in and being, you know, this gregarious personality, which he always is all the time. And you were actually making a joke with him.
Yeah, did you? And now it turns out NFL Films actually caught him saying early in the game that he was telling Brock Purdy, because you guys probably remember that viral video a few years ago where some kid was getting, or a coach or a player was getting interviewed in a high school game somewhere. And he said, they had us in the first half, not going to lie.
Yes, I'm not going to lie.
And so that clip went viral, right? So George Kittle, in our interview, I say, hey, George, you guys were down 24-7 at the half, but came back to win. How did you do it? And then he goes, they had us in the first half, not going to lie.
His comedic timing is perfect.
Yeah, just comedic timing. His wit is just, you know, we just described how chaotic it is down there on the field. And for him to have his comedic wit still on point like that. So he gives that line. He gives the rest of the answer about them fighting back and, you know, all that. And then I said, hey, I saw what you did there. And then his face lit up about, you know, me recognizing the joke. And as it turns out, NFL Films got him saying that to Brock Purdy, like in the second quarter.
Oh.
He said, hey, at the end of this game, I'm going to do all my interviews and I'm going to say, They got us in the first half. I'm not going to lie. And he's like, I can't wait to say that because we're going to come back and win. And so the fact that he called his shot and then still delivered all that. And then when he was up there with the championship ceremony with Michael Strahan, he set it up there on the stage and in the big screen. And George Kittle, he really is one of a kind.
Yeah.
But they all their own respective moments, you know, great interviews. And like you said, Purdy was him. So focused. Debo Samuel was just so relieved to get through that game, as much pain as he was in with his shoulder, and still led the team in receiving, and all the guys, you know, had their heroic moments, and just a joyous occasion for the Niner faithful there.
There was a series of memes of Brock Purdy walking in like his game day entrance. He's in his khakis and his little jacket, and all the different memes were like, it looks like Shanahan just called in Purdy to reboot the system at Levi Stadium. I mean, I just can't, but like, whatever, he gets out there and wins. They're like, oh, my man just came from a Kohl's commercial shoot, leave him alone, he knows his style, he knows who he is. As long as he keeps getting dubs, it doesn't matter.
But you know what's cool, and I think this is a reflection of that poise that he always carries himself with, is those celebrations. Mm-hmm. When they score a touchdown, when he throws a touchdown pass, when he makes a big play, he goes nuts.
Yeah.
And so at that point, that's when he lets all that emotion out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's neat to see. It's cool to see that side of him because he is so poised and diligent and focused all the time, to see that side of his personality in those moments. And his teammates feed off of that. They know when Brock is letting loose, you know, this is a guy we want to follow. And follow they certainly have, and they're going to continue to follow him to Vegas.
No question.
Yeah, so are you going to be going to Vegas, Omar?
Yeah, go on Sunday. I'm not sure if we're going to get the arrivals you know, as the plane arrives, but I'll be there. It'll be the, I mean, you guys know, Super
you're going to be at the Dorito chip is where you're going to be. You're going to be staying there. You're going to be staying at the Dorito chip.
Oh, my God.
I think that's where, like, the media.
What is that, Excelsior or something? Whatever
the
it's
Dorito
called.
Chip? Yeah. What's that?
They made it into a Dorito chip, like one of the.
Are you serious?
Excellent the Luxor, brand placement the side of by it. Them.
With the chips and salsa, little guacamole.
Yeah, now we're talking, baby. Now we're
memories.
Talking.
Thank you for taking us through that. All right, stay hydrated, my friend.
You're the best.
We got a long week ahead.
Thank you.
See you, my friend.
Hydrated, rested, all of it. Got to prep now.
Like, literally. All right. Thanks, Omar. We love you.
Thanks, Omar. You're the best, man. Love you.
Love you, too. Thanks for having me.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
And I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y al final del partido lo empiezas a utilizar la segunda parte.
Menos de 2 yardas, lo que necesitan los 49ers. Juicy entró al campo. La entrega. McCaffrey, casi sin que nadie lo toque. Touchdown. El partido se va a empatar.
Mm-hmm. Does Christian McCaffrey levitate? I mean, it's almost supernatural the way he can just run through people. I mean, he was untouched in that. By the way, shout out to his fiance, Olivia Culpo, former Miss Universe, if you guys didn't know. She was also rocking custom Kristen Juszczyk gear at the game. Congratulations to Kristen, who now has a licensing deal with the NFL. I love this for her, okay? Entrepreneur, designer, now she's official. For those who don't
love
know
it.
Will, she's not new to this game. She's been designing outfits for game days for years and years and years.
Yeah, that's
all
what you were
saying,
right?
Niners wives have been wearing her stuff. So they're like, thanks everybody else for catching on. How do we get a custom El Huddle?
let's make it happen.
We don't have it in our budget. Because
I'm
sure yesterday's price is not today's price. I can guarantee
you. Yeah, it's changed. Well, we see like Klay Thompson, he wore it before a Warrior game. So so good for her. You know, I'm going to go into the Ipunto, or maybe that is an Ipunto right there. Like good for Kristen to have that, and good for the use checks to have that. You know, for me, my Ipunto is that we see the 49ers and the Chiefs are going to be wearing the same color uniforms that they wore when they last faced each other in Miami.
Yep.
And you know, I would have loved to have seen the 49ers in their home jerseys. Would have been so great, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's something going to be an omen or something that the Chiefs are going to grab onto. I don't know, but
you know, players are superstitious. So
yes, they are.
That it's a rematch, and that the Chiefs are again the home team. Like this is going to be interesting. But the reason they do that, guys, it's especially for situations like this where the team colors are the same, almost the same.
Yeah.
That way, we're not just looking at a bunch of red out on the field. So it's going to be interesting. My punto is that you know, Super Bowl is such a huge, everybody compares their biggest moment of the year to the Super Bowl. Oh, this is the Super Bowl of X. This is a Super Bowl of Y. This is my Super Bowl this week, blah, 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 right? And we are blessed enough, again, to relive this in the job that we do. I know you don't take it for granted, Will. Neither do I. Like, I think sometimes the nope. season can feel so long. And then playoffs sure. gives us this other jolt. And then Super Bowl is the craziest week of the year. And, man, this is really, really cool. Like, going back to our last week's episode where we talked to Leo, like, this is what we do for a living.
Like, mm-hmm.
We get to share our love of this with all of you guys, with nuestra familia. And I especially this year, like, one of my mantras for the year was to be in the moment, to be present, and to take account of the things that are really, really special. And we're very lucky to do this job and to be able to live this every single day. So I'm excited, you guys. Can't wait for us to bring mm-hmm. to life the Super Bowl, to bring it to you, to be your ojitos and your orejitas from Vegas while we live this. It's very, very cool.
Así es, muy bien, estoy de acuerdo. Again, I am totally in agreement with you. We are at this point in time, the culmination, mm-hmm. and listen, these are our two storied franchises
yep.
going head to head. Let's just get a good game and let's That's be it. Entertained.
I think we will.
And
I see no.
I think we will as well.
No other scenario. They're gonna fight for their lives out yeah. on that field. So it's gonna be great. I can't wait, guys. Continue to follow us, like, subscribe, share it, and let us know what you guys think. What do you want to hear? Especially as we're getting ready to set foot in Orlando for Pro Bowl and in Super Bowl, we have even more access than normal. So, you know, tweet us. Or what is it? X us? I don't always say that.
No, you're still posting something, right?
We're active on Instagram. So just hit us up there and let us know who you want to hear from and what you want to see. Will, as always, man, this is it. We're there.
Prima hermana.
We made it.
Who knew? Adios, prima hermana.
Look at us.
See ya.
In Huddle is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.